in front of us. All this is totally uncalled for. Now, you people with computers can look that up. Look that up there and get the true picture of true education. There's no place for this long, drawn-out stuff. The papacy cannot thrive unless it takes the people through the grind to destroy individuality. What I'm saying, I didn't mean to get off on that sidetrack, but children could understand these truths that's in the Word of God if it wasn't for this long, drawn-out process of education. Foolishness, plain and simple. Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back. This is God talking. I will turn thee back. Thee is the wicked. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Gomorrah of the north borders, and all his bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be a guard unto them. Now, see, God is mainly talking to God, and he says, You go gather all them nations, get them all together, get them all agreeing on one purpose. If we had time, we could go into Revelation and find about these 10 kings. They're all going to agree with one thing. One thing will they have in mind. And that's to destroy God's people. It's during the sixth trumpet, the sixth plague, that men decide to get their heads together and decide that because they're suffering the effects of the plagues, and they think that we're the results, we're the cause of the plagues, that if they get this law signed that they can kill us all in one decisive blow, that the plagues on them will stop. That's what they think. Now we're going to read here, if I keep reading here in Ezekiel 38, we're going to read about people that think an evil thought. The evil thought is they want to kill us. And the very words over in early writings there, now if I was to get that book, we could make this Ezekiel 38 and 39 so plain that you wouldn't have to go down to early teen division to get somebody to comprehend these very words. You could go in the lower divisions and they would understand it, because that is plain English. In early writings there, it plainly says that they thought, talking about the wicked, they thought that if they get this law signed to kill us, that the plagues will stop. That's the evil thought that the Bible mentions in Ezekiel 38. The timing is so plain that a child can see it. Okay, where did I stop at? Ezekiel 38. But let me mention to you about this hooks in the jaws. What's this talking about? What's this hook in the jaw that God says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw, the wicked? You know, a woman, an 85-pound woman, can saddle up a horse and put that bit in the horse's mouth. She may weigh 85 pounds. And she gets on the back of that horse weighing 1,800 pounds. And she crawls in the saddle and she's going along there, and she says, tells that horse, she jerks that rein a little bit and says, let's go this way for a while. That horse says, yes, sir. He does whatever she says. Whatever that little lady suggests, he is more than eager to do it. He don't like that bit rolling up in the roof of his mouth. It puts some hurt on him. That's what God's talking about. He said, I got a hook in your jaw, and I'm going to bring you down there against my people Israel. I want you to check them out. I want you to check them out and see what they're made of. You know, a lot of us, time to time, have complained. But you know, we need the wicked desperately. I need the wicked to check me out, to see what they can throw at me, to see how I will react. The wicked need the faithful, because we have the truth. We need them just as much as they need us. Well, in this situation, when God is talking to the wicked here during Ezekiel 38:39, it's after probation is closed. Jesus has already said his word. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus has already said his words. He throws down his censer in Revelation 8:5. It's Revelation 8:6 that the trumpets begin. But now we've gone through the first trumpet and the first plague, where there was a great and grievous sore. The wicked have suffered the effects of that. They have seen whole mountaintops, volcanoes erupting as a result of atomic weapons. As soon as man is permitted to do what he wants to do, man will launch these terrible weapons at one another. Right now, God is holding, the four angels are holding the four winds of strife until God's servants are sealed. Just as soon as they're sealed, the sealing angel returns to Jesus and tells him that his work is done. Then the seven last plagues can be poured out, and man is permitted to do what he wants to do, what he is chomping at the bits to do today, but he's being restrained. But when that restraint is removed, he will do what he does best. All these weapons that are stockpiled, all these warheads that are aimed at their enemies, the Jews hate the Muslims hate the Jews. There is no solution to their problem. Only the second coming of Jesus. Is there a solution to these worldwide problems? The Pakistanis hate India. India hates Pakistan. You name it. Everybody has an enemy. Everybody's enemy. I mean, every enemy has their weapons turned against their enemy. But they're held in check until God's servants are sealed. Aren't you thankful that heaven lingers a little longer for me and you? But just as soon as they're sealed, the angel from this Gabriel returns to Jesus and says, my work is done. Jesus steps out of the most holy place, says those words, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's Revelation 8:5. Jesus throws down the censer. Don't be confused by these false shepherds. Grab your early writings and see those very words pinned there for us to read. I don't have this book here, but I haven't quoted it for a long time. Let's see if I can do it justice. Does it say, I saw Jesus standing before the altar? Oh, I can't do it justice. I'm very sorry. It's page 279. You'll just have to take my word for it. 279, early writings. I'm sorry, I can't say that. But there's when Jesus throws down the censer, Revelation 8:5. Revelation 8:6, then the seven trumpet angels prepare themselves to sound. Not one trumpet angel has sounded yet. You come down to Revelation 9:4, is it? I don't have time to flip back and forth in the Bible here. I'll just have to do it from memory. 9:4, that there's some people that have the seal of God in their forehead. Absolutely. Because they're not able to hurt them. At this point, you either have the seal of God in your forehead or you have the mark of the beast on you. And, but I'm going to get right down to the timing here of the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is directed towards God's people and the sixth plague. See the wicked, look over there and see these 144,000 that are living without walls, gates and bars on their windows. They're living calm and composed. They're safe, at rest. The Bible describes it that they're living safely, all of them. Early writings, probably about 283, it says that I saw the saints calm and composed. Absolutely. None of the plagues are on us. Psalms 91 has protected us. 1,000 will fall at thy left hand, and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. But now read down a little bit there. She saw the saints calm and composed, but soon I saw the saints suffering great mental anguish. Doesn't that parallel with the rest of the scripture that we can read? That the saints, even after probation closes, they will still have trials individually. The 144,000 are in little pockets scattered all over the world. God has his people scattered everywhere. And the wicked knows where they are. A lot of the 144,000 are in prison. And as soon as they get this law signed on the books, that in one decisive blow, they can kill all the saints in one decisive blow. Now, there's 200 million people that are assembled. 200 million strong. That's what Revelation 9 tells you. And they're prepared to do some killing. And there's not a thing wrong with their timing. They know exactly when the law will go into effect. Seventh-day Adventists, their timing is malfunctioning today. They have the saints on the way to heaven before probation even closes. They take this half an hour of silence in heaven. They have the saints on the way to heaven before probation even closes. That's Revelation 8:1, where there's silence in heaven. How sad to deceive poor innocent people that don't know any better. They don't have access to the books that these evangelists do. They don't realize that probation is still lingering while there's silence in heaven. Your guardian angel and mine knows the intensity of the situation. They realize that heavenly tribunal in heaven, composing the 24 elders, have all come from the earth. They've all been redeemed, the 24 elders. It's a double jury that's going on in heaven right now. And it begins with those that first lived on the earth. Our advocate presents the case of each successive generation and closes with the living. If it closes with the living, the last words, the last names that will be reviewed by that heavenly tribunal will be the living. It'll be the 144,000. That's the reason there's silence in heaven. It's getting close to closing. That's the reason there's silence in heaven. Was there another time when there was silence in heaven? When Jesus was in the garden. He was in Gethsemane. The cup trembled in his hands. It could have went either way. Jesus was not given a blank check, like the Adventists believe that they've been given one. They believe they've been given a blank check and their church is going to go through unconditionally to the sea of glass. That's what a conference president told us. He told us years ago that the Laodicean church is a translation church and it will be translated to the sea of glass. Absolutely foolishness, falsehood. Not one Laodicean is going to be saved. Every Laodicean is going to be spewed out of the mouth of God. Now there's a beautiful remedy for Laodicea. Come out of that condition and be a Philadelphian. Then you'll have the Father's name in your forehead. You won't be a Laodicean anymore. You'll be a Philadelphian. But see, the evangelists have told you that each one of these churches is a period of time. Foolishness. Plain and simple. All the seven churches is, it tells of a condition. Read Acts of the Apostles, page 85. It's a condition. If each one of these churches has a condition not favorable with heaven, get out of that condition. There may be a church out in Timbuktu today that if it exhibits the characteristics of the Ephesus church, then that church is in the Ephesus condition. Come out of that condition. Be a Philadelphian. Not one Laodicean will be saved. What was it the conference president said? He says, he was proud to be a Laodicean. He says, there's not going to be no eighth church. I've heard people with credibility in recent years say that. This beautiful black man, Charles Brooks, with his beautiful message, he's totally deceived on the seven seals. Why, when Ellen White plainly says that in symbolic language it contains the history of the whole world. It didn't begin, as all the evangelists will tell you, from the first advent of Christ to his second coming? Absolutely not. The seven seals is nothing other than investigative judgment going on right now. I didn't mean to say all that about the seven seals. They all need to be brought in. The seven trumpets are all future. Ellen White plainly told us that they're all future. The story she told over and over again. Vial after vial is yet to be poured out. Trumpet after trumpet is yet to sound. If you believe what is taught by the evangelists, the trumpets are all in the past. Read letter number 59, 1895. Read that whole letter when she was over in Australia. And they were caught out in a hailstorm. Hail began to come down as big as hen eggs, hitting the horse and the passengers. And, you know, a horse with all of his strength getting hit on the head with an egg, with a piece of ice that big, the damage he could do. But after the storm is all over and they finally make it to shelter, she comments and she puts the trumpets and the plagues together in the same breath, just where it should be. All the trumpets are is announcement of the plagues. Just like Moses and Aaron, they announced the plagues. God's people will announce the plagues. Once again, read over there in Revelation 11. Don't be afraid to read that book. When Ellen White plainly told us to read every verse of Revelation 11, it is yet to take place. It's Last Day Events, page 95. Don't be deceived by these false shepherds that tells you that Revelation 11 was the French Revolution. It has nothing to do with the future. When she plainly says to read every verse, it's yet to take place. Who do you think I'm going to believe? You know who I'm going to believe. I can read Revelation 11 in every verse if that makes sense to me, because I apply it to a future setting, just like she told us to do. Past histories will be repeated. Don't you know that the first, second, and third angel's message will be repeated? Let me give you a quote here. October 31, 1899. Beautiful, beautiful Review and Herald article. Please read that. If you pay no attention to what I have to say here, but please get the book down, read it for yourself. October 31, 1899. Read those words there. The first, second, and third angel's message is to be repeated. The call is to be given to the world. Did it say the world? Absolutely not. I probably shouldn't have confused you there. But I'll say it again like it really says it. The first, second, and third angel's message is to be repeated. The call is given to the church. Babylon is fallen. If the first angel's message is to be repeated, can you remember what the first angel's message was? There was a judgment hour message. Hour. William Miller told the people, you better get ready. The 2300 days ends in 1844. God intended his people to be tested on time. That's the way he wanted it. Time will never be a test again for God's people. Never, never, never. And I would never set time. But if the first angel's message is to be repeated, somebody has got to say something about time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody has to say something about time, and some of God's people will say something about time. If you're going to repeat the first angel's message, you've got to say something about time. Now, if I haven't said anything about time, time will never be a test again. Never, never, never. How we're being tested is we're being tested on a daily basis. Read those words there in volume number 1, page 187. God leads his people on step by step. He brings them up to different points calculated to manifest what is in the heart. Some endure at one point, but fall off at the next. At every advanced point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to this straight work, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome, if they would not be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. Said the angel, God will bring his work close.